Tessayan is also based on a very, very famous story that is recorded in the Gemara. And now, by the way, we are shifting gears, because until now, most of the piyutim have been focused on the Chorban Bayis Rishon, which Yirmiyahu HaNavi personally saw, experienced. This is a story about the Chorban Bayis Sheni. And the Chorban Bayis Sheni, we know, destroyed in the year 70, the Gemara in Gittin, this is one of the things we learn on Tisha B'Av. The Roman general who actually engineered the destruction of the Second Temple was Titus, who eventually became emperor. Again, the siege against Jerusalem was begun by his father Vespasian, and Vespasian was eventually called back to Rome to be an emperor. And Titus HaRasha was the general who actually destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. By the way, just a little story. Josephus, who was a Jew, but perhaps not so faithful, he was kind of a traitor, he went over to the Roman side. But Josephus records a statement that Titus made to him. Now, we don't know if it's true or not. That when Titus saw all of the infighting and all of the hatred that existed among the Jewish people, Titus said semi-mockingly, "You know, I don't really have to destroy this city at all. If I just leave the Jews alone long enough, they will destroy it themselves." This, of course, corresponds to the idea of Sinas Chinam. In fact, there were warring factions of Jews that took charge of the Beis HaMikdash itself, and they were shooting arrows, one group to another group, and the Kohanim were ducking the arrows to bring the Korbanos. This was how great the Sinas Chinam was. But at some point, Titus actually entered the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, strangely enough, what would you find in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the time of the Second Temple? Chazal say that the Aron HaKodesh, the Holy Ark, was hidden by Yehoiachin before the Chorban of the first Beis HaMikdash. So the Babylonians never got the Ark. The Ark is buried somewhere on the Temple Mount. Occasionally we have stories of people who are close to finding it and things happen. Hashem does not want us to have it yet. In the Bayis Sheni, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was an empty room, amazingly enough. The Kohen would walk in, he would put Ketores, the incense, on the Evan Shasiyah, on the foundation rock, a rock, an outcropping that was coming out. But there was nothing in the room at all, an empty room. But Titus wanted to go into God's ultimate home, as it were. And Titus enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim brazenly. He takes his sword, he pierces the paroches, the curtain, and the curtain starts bleeding. And Titus figured, "Oh, I killed the Almighty. I subjugated the Almighty." But of course, the significance of the bleeding is kavyochol, that Hashem, on a level we don't understand, bleeds, he suffers with the suffering of Am Yisrael. And not only that, he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim that only the Kohen Gadol could go into one time a year. He opens up a Sefer Torah on the ground. And Rachmano Litzlan, he fornicates with a prostitute on top of a Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. A total, total desecration of holiness of God's name. And he goes back to Rome triumphant. And all of us know, of course, the triumphal arch of Titus that shows Jews being led into chains, holding the menorah. And coins were minted, Judea Captiva, that the Jewish nation has become captive and enslaved. But the Gemara tells us that when he's coming back to Rome, there's a big storm and the ship is about to sink. And he calls out to God and he says, "Oh God, I know you're powerful in water. You know, you kill the Egyptians in the Yam Suf. So of course on the water you can get me. But if you're really omnipotent, what can you do to me on land?" And the Kodesh Baruch Hu decreed at that point, "I don't have to waste my time with you. I don't have to handle you myself. I can take a small gnat, the most insignificant of my creatures. And that creature can subdue you." And the Gemara tells us, indeed, a parasite or an insect entered Titus's nostril. and eventually it grew and grew and grew, and he eventually died from that. Kadosh Baruch Hu is basically saying that Har Beis Shluchim L'Makom, God can enlist any entity to do his will. And we ask Hashem, when we ask Hashem, remember what the enemy did in the Holy of Holies. It has a more general meaning as well, because it's not just referring to Titus. We take these stories as exemplars. It refers to the idea that when the non-Jewish world persecutes Am Yisrael, when Am Yisrael is persecuted, when God's name is desecrated, when Torah is trampled on, it is a desecration of the glory of Hashem. So we ask Hashem, even if we are not deserving, bring a geula for your name, so it should not be nischalel, it should not be desecrated. Rav Lezer Kalir makes a reference that as Titus was going to enter the Beis HaMikdash, there actually were 600,000 malachim, angels, that were trying to prevent this, that were trying to protect the Mikdash. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told those angels, you can't do it. And the reference here is, V'hu asur b'zikim. He, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, was tied in chains. Again, it's a very, very difficult idea, because obviously God decides whatever God wants. But on one hand, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon to redeem us, to do good for us. But just as a parent must sometimes allow a child's leg to be amputated, as painful as it is. Imagine a child who needs an amputation, and the child begs and cries to the parents, let me keep my leg. And the parent must become cruel and strong and firm, because this is the ultimate thing that the child needs, or the child will die. But how much it tears at the parent's heart to put his child through that agony. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, has nothing greater than his desire to redeem us. But we needed this galus. We needed this korban. So Hashem had to tie himself, kavyachol, in chains to do what had to be done. And the malachim that would have protected us were disabled. Now then there's a mention of another medrash. It mentions that as Titus approached the Harabayas, he had four generals who were supposed to destroy a wall. Each one would destroy a wall. And it is recorded that the western wall could not be destroyed. And this is based on the medrash, indeed, that the last remaining intact wall, not of the temple per se, but of the Temple Mount, is the Kaisel Maravi. And that is the last place after the Churban where the Shekhinah resides. And this is important, because the fact that there is one Makom where the Shekhinah didn't leave means HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has his home here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has his address here. And therefore he can return in its fullness. Had there been no Makom, had the Shekhinah totally left, then indeed we would not have a guarantee that it would come back. So this Kina is actually one of the earliest references, because it might be earlier than some Midrashim, that the Shekhinah never departed from the Kaisel Maravi, because of the four officials who were told to destroy the different walls, the one that was told to destroy the Maravi was not able to be Matzliach.